Posloucháte testovací nahrávku pro ověření hlasitosti. Pokud neslyšíte nahrávku dostatečně nahlas, oznamte to administrátorovi zkoušky po zaznění signálu.
Počúvate testovací nahrávku pro ověření hlasitosti. Pokud nepočujete nahrávku dostatečně nahlas, oznámte to administrátorovi zkoušky po zaznění signálu.
English exam, section 1, listening. Part 1. You will hear a text which is followed by several tasks. You will be given time to look through the relevant tasks before you listen. You will hear the recording twice. Solve the tasks based solely on the information in the recording. You now have 1 minute to look at tasks 1 to 6. Left-handed people haven't always been treated well throughout history. They've been persecuted for their disposition, being labelled as witches, despite making up 10% of the population. In fact, the English word sinister comes from the Latin word for left, although the word probably entered the English language via the French sinistre from the same Latin root. Indeed, in English use, sinister skipped the neutral meaning, simply denoting something on the left or a left-handed person, and jumped straight to the malicious one. There have been a few theories over the decades about why some people are left-handed, including an outdated idea that it has something to do with mothers who are stressed while pregnant. Research since the 1980s has found that our preference for our left or right hand is determined before we are born. Ultrasound screenings suggest as early as the 8th week of pregnancy. From the 13th week in the womb, babies tend to suck either their right or their left thumb. It was previously thought that the genetic difference between the left and right hemispheres of the brain determines whether someone is left or right-handed. But a study published in the journal eLife in 2017 found the answer lies in the spinal cord. Researchers analysed genetic activity in the spinal cord in the 8th through the 12th week of pregnancy. They found significant differences in the left and right segments of the spinal cord that control arm and leg movement. So, it is asymmetrical genetic activity in the spinal cord that determines if the baby will be left or right-handed. There's long been a belief that there is a link between talent and left-handedness. But is it really true? Left-handers exhibit, on average, a more developed right brain hemisphere, which is specialized for processes such as spatial reasoning and the ability to rotate mental representations of objects. Also, according to a recent study, left-handers have, on average, an edge when solving demanding mathematical tasks. Furthermore, the corpus callosum, the bundle of nerve cells connecting the two brain hemispheres, tends to be larger in left-handers. This suggests that compared to right-handers, left-handers have an enhanced connectivity between the two hemispheres and hence superior information processing. Why that is, however, is unclear. One theory argues that living in a world designed for right-handers could be forcing left-handers to use both hands, thereby increasing connectivity. This opens up the possibility that we could all achieve enhanced connectivity by training ourselves to use both hands. Left-handed people haven't always been treated well throughout history. They've been persecuted for their disposition, being labelled as witches, despite making up 10% of the population. In fact, the English word sinister comes from the Latin word for left, although the word probably entered the English language via the French sinistre from the same Latin root. Indeed, in English use, sinister skipped the neutral meaning, simply denoting something on the left or a left-handed person, and jumped straight to the malicious one. There have been a few theories over the decades about why some people are left-handed, including an outdated idea that it has something to do with mothers who are stressed while pregnant. Research since the 1980s has found that our preference for our left or right hand is determined before we are born. Ultrasound screenings suggest as early as the 8th week of pregnancy. From the 13th week in the womb, babies tend to suck either their right or their left thumb. It was previously thought that the genetic difference between the left and right hemispheres of the brain determines whether someone is left or right-handed. But a study published in the journal eLife in 2017 found the answer lies in the spinal cord. Researchers analysed genetic activity in the spinal cord in the 8th through the 12th week of pregnancy. They found significant differences in the left and right segments of the spinal cord that control arm and leg movement. So, it is asymmetrical genetic activity in the spinal cord that determines if the baby will be left or right-handed. There's long been a belief that there is a link between talent and left-handedness. But is it really true? Left-handers exhibit, on average, a more developed right brain hemisphere, which is specialised for processes such as spatial reasoning and the ability to rotate mental representations of objects. Also, according to a recent study, left-handers have, on average, an edge when solving demanding mathematical tasks. Furthermore, the corpus callosum, the bundle of nerve cells connecting the two brain hemispheres, tends to be larger in left-handers. This suggests that compared to right-handers, left-handers have an enhanced connectivity between the two hemispheres and hence superior information processing. Why that is, however, is unclear. One theory argues that living in a world designed for right-handers could be forcing left-handers to use both hands, thereby increasing connectivity. This opens up the possibility that we could all achieve enhanced connectivity by training ourselves to use both hands. You now have 1 minute to solve tasks 1 to 6. Part 2. You will hear a series of short, unrelated extracts. There is one task for each extract. You'll be given time to read the relevant task before you listen. You will hear each extract twice. Solve the tasks based solely on the information in the recording. You now have 20 seconds to look at task 7. Polite society considers swearing to be a sign of low intelligence and education. For why would one rely on rude language when blessed with a rich vocabulary? But in fact, swearing may be a sign of verbal superiority, and it's also associated with higher social intelligence. Having the strategies to know where and when it's appropriate to swear and when it's not is a social cognitive skill similar to being able to pick up the right clothes for the right occasion. Science has also found a positive link between profanity and honesty. People who curse lie less on an interpersonal level and have high levels of moral integrity overall. Polite society considers swearing to be a sign of low intelligence and education. For why would one rely on rude language when blessed with a rich vocabulary? But in fact, swearing may be a sign of verbal superiority, and it's also associated with higher social intelligence. Having the strategies to know where and when it's appropriate to swear and when it's not is a social cognitive skill similar to being able to pick up the right clothes for the right occasion. Science has also found a positive link between profanity and honesty. People who curse lie less on an interpersonal level and have high levels of moral integrity overall. You now have 20 seconds to look at task 8.
Rhinos sometimes make use of their ears, nostrils, and posture to communicate. They may indicate curiosity with erect ears or an erect tail, or show anger by flattening their ears and flaring their nostrils. Bull rhinos will bash their heads into bushes to show aggression during mating. But in fact, body language is the least important way in which rhinos communicate because of their poor eyesight. Rhinos sometimes make use of their ears, nostrils, and posture to communicate. They may indicate curiosity with erect ears or an erect tail, or show anger by flattening their ears and flaring their nostrils. Bull rhinos will bash their heads into bushes to show aggression during mating. But in fact, body language is the least important way in which rhinos communicate because of their poor eyesight.
You now have 20 seconds to look at task 9. My family lives in a place where it could be very likely to snow through about mid-May. So I've had to learn to garden with an eye towards that. It's not extreme, it's the weather for this place. In general, native plants have been easier to tend. One of the wonders of native plants is that when it snows in May or in the first week of September, they just shake it off and keep chugging along. I realize that I need plants that are not as finicky and not as tender so I can feel like a success. My family lives in a place where it could be very likely to snow through about mid-May. So I've had to learn to garden with an eye towards that. It's not extreme, it's the weather for this place. In general, native plants have been easier to tend. One of the wonders of native plants is that when it snows in May or in the first week of September, they just shake it off and keep chugging along. I realize that I need plants that are not as finicky and not as tender so I can feel like a success. You now have 20 seconds to look at task 10. Today, there are multiple instant messaging platforms at your disposal. They are, for all intents and purposes, a lifeline for many of us. But over the years, they've also become the root cause of a significant amount of anxiety. For me, receiving paragraphs or large text messages fills me with dread, because tone can be misunderstood over text. It's always better to hear a person's voice and see the way they look and react. Also, I have ADHD, so I have to bury myself in what I'm doing and cannot allow myself to check text messages. Otherwise, my focus will go. Today, there are multiple instant messaging platforms at your disposal. They are, for all intents and purposes, a lifeline for many of us. But over the years, they've also become the root cause of a significant amount of anxiety. For me, receiving paragraphs or large text messages fills me with dread, because tone can be misunderstood over text. It's always better to hear a person's voice and see the way they look and react. Also, I have ADHD, so I have to bury myself in what I'm doing and cannot allow myself to check text messages. Otherwise, my focus will go. You now have 20 seconds to look at task 11. The old adage has it that we are never more than 6 feet away from a rat. But is it true? It's a saying that seems almost deliberately contrived to get a reaction, but it isn't exactly clear where the adage comes from. It may derive from the former Ministry of Agriculture, which circulated many public health announcements to promote hygiene in homes. Thankfully, it's nonsense. The BBC's statistical team estimated that assuming you're standing at a given spot in an urban area, you would be on average around 164 feet or 50 metres away from a rat. The old adage has it that we are never more than 6 feet away from a rat. But is it true? It's a saying that seems almost deliberately contrived to get a reaction, but it isn't exactly clear where the adage comes from. It may derive from the former Ministry of Agriculture, which circulated many public health announcements to promote hygiene in homes. Thankfully, it's nonsense. The BBC's statistical team estimated that assuming you're standing at a given spot in an urban area, you would be on average around 164 feet or 50 meters away from a rat. You now have 20 seconds to look at task 12. French postal workers are offering a new service. They will pop in and chat to elderly people living alone and then inform their children living far away if there are any problems. The postmen and postwomen pop in to have a chat while on their daily rounds. They have a list of questions, and once they have the answers, the elderly person signs that the information is correct and the replies are sent to the relative via an app and to a pre-decided list of other people who have agreed to be contacted if necessary. There must always be someone local on the list who can react if there is a problem. French postal workers are offering a new service. They will pop in and chat to elderly people living alone and then inform their children living far away if there are any problems. The postmen and postwomen pop in to have a chat while on their daily rounds. They have a list of questions, and once they have the answers, the elderly person signs that the information is correct and the replies are sent to the relative via an app and to a pre-decided list of other people who have agreed to be contacted if necessary. There must always be someone local on the list who can react if there is a problem. End of the listening section.